You're listening to Gilmore Guys, hosted by Demi and Kevin. And here's your hosts, Demi and Kevin.
Oh my god, no one's gonna believe that was pre-recorded.
Hey guys.
Hi guys, dudes.
Yeah, it's dudettes. Just us guys here.
Just us
yeah,
guys.
So man, episode 4, we're already there.
Oh my god, we are blazing through these.
We are blowing and blazing through Gilmore Guys season 1 and Gilmore Girls season 1.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Season 1. Yeah. Thanks to Netflix. Have you been having a smoother...
Way smoother.
Yeah, because before I had all the DVDs, obviously, and I ripped them all to my hard drive, obviously. Right. So I had a fine time watching them. But before they were on Netflix, you had to... What? Did you have to torrent them?
I did, yeah. I torrented the first... 4, mm-hmm. And then by the time I got to 3, it was on Netflix, but so much easier on Netflix.
Yeah. Although, I will say, well, we'll talk about this later, but the aspect ratio, I have a big problem with. Demi?
Sorry, it's Damn, Siri. Demi. I got a call from Siri.
What did she say? What did Siri say?
Can I come on the podcast? I told her no.
Okay, speaking of coming on the podcast, we promised Alexis Bledel. Last week.
I can't believe she keeps doing this to us. I'm so sorry.
There was another conflict. This time it was of a less... I mean, this time it was probably true.
Probably
because
true.
Last time it seemed to be a bunch of fog seemed like she was blowing us off. Smoke. What's that?
Seems like she was blowing us off.
Yeah,
us off.
Well, it seemed like she was blowing me off. She seemed to be texting you just fine.
Now we're good friends.
Yeah.
We're getting dinner tomorrow.
Is that where?
I feel like I shouldn't
tell
you.
She can't come to the podcast tonight, but she can get dinner with you tomorrow.
Yeah, there are 2 different days. Look, we'll talk about this later, but...
Why did she cancel this time?
I don't know.
Wait,
am I... Okay. It's a whole thing, all right? She's celebrating her anniversary. She thought the anniversary was tomorrow, so mm-hmm. she set up a dinner. Mm-hmm. And it's actually today. Mm-hmm. And Vincent's like, you can't go on a podcast. Mm-hmm. We got married.
Can't go on a podcast? I'm weird. Look in my eyes.
I live in a cabin and don't own a phone. Anyway, so they're going to dinner tonight, but she still has a reservation for tomorrow. So she's like, Demi, I can't cancel this reservation. It's at Trois Mecs. It's a very fancy place. Anyway, so she's
Trois
like,
Mecs?
Trois Mecs. You never heard of it?
No.
I guess you need to be in a certain league of... Anyway... She's very Hollywood. So she's like, I got this reservation, and I can't cancel it. Demi, will you come with me to this fancy-ass dinner that people who are usually dating go to?
That seems inappropriate.
And I'm like, Alexis, I'm not dating you, but yeah, I'll go.
Okay. Well, I hope you have fun. I hope you have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I hope you have a lot of fun.
But it's nice because we actually have someone.
We do have a guest. Let's introduce him right now.
You may know him from
Vine. Hey, hang on.
Uh-oh.
Hey, there we go. We need some intro music. You may know him from Funny or Die. He interned there. He interned at Gary Sanchez Productions. He interned at The Soup. He interned with Kevin Fox, who wrote and produced The Blair Witch Project. He interned at Dirty Robert Productions in Silver Lake. And you know him from Vine and Real Life. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Trolley.
I feel like you should be in a stadium with this sort of intro.
I just want to, like, wait. I want you guys to edit in, like, a crowd just applauding right there.
So we got to edit that out so people don't know
that
there was a crowd.
Okay, we'll put the crowd on right.
No, it's between us three. Like, we're definitely making a pact right now.
Of course.
Hey. I didn't ask for that crowd. It was just there.
It was just, they're here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here in the studio.
Here she goes.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
Anthony. Thanks so much for coming on. You are our first guest. You are our first Gilmore guy.
Oh, my God. Ever.
I feel honored.
Yeah?
Like, I was actually nervous. I'm not going to lie. I got the call from Demi, and he's like...
Got the call. Classic
I got,
call.
I got the call. I get the call from Demi. It's like 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, hey, man, Gilmore Guys has a spot for you, episode 4.
We made room.
You made room. And I was like, Demi, I don't know if I'm ready for the big leagues. And he's like, all you have to do is watch episode 4 of Gilmore Girls and then come in and talk about it. Well, guess what? I watched the episode of Gilmore Girls, the fourth episode of Gilmore Girls, not once, but twice.
Oh, you watched it twice?
God, I watched it twice.
Oh my gosh.
Because if I was going to be the first guest on this podcast,
you had to memorize it?
I wanted I know it from start to
oh,
to
wait, wait, wait. No, yeah. This isn't the podcast where we recite the episode. That's different.
Oh,
that's Shakespeare on Gilmore.
Oh no, yeah. you're
Shakespeare
joking.
On the Gilmore.
Shakespeare on the Gilmore.
That's a much bigger podcast than this.
Yeah, that's on the Nerdist Network. We're just independent.
Chris Hardwick is just really. I don't know how where he finds the time.
No, Chris, we love you. You're such a busy man, but come on the show sometime.
Is that? Are you just going to invite everybody who we name drop? You're just going to be like,
that's literally what we've done for three episodes.
Only the people we love.
Yeah,
which is most, I mean, because everyone's so great. Yeah. It's Hollywood,
if you want, I mean, I've got a lot of pull with old A-Beads, a.k.a. Alexis Bledel. And
well, we have an in.
You got an in. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we are the in.
Oh.
We are, yeah.
I just didn't know if you needed that extra push.
I'll be like, so I trolled today. Talked about you.
Yeah, that might help. Yeah, try that next time. That might help.
Text her right now, as a matter of fact.
Because maybe, yeah.
Siri, text Alexis Bledel that I saw trolley today. Let's see how this goes.
This is coming. I don't see Alexis Battle in your contacts.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a Alexis problem. Battle.
Yeah.
Siri misunderstood you.
She's a much more mean. She's very, very feisty.
It's a battle.
She's constantly aggravated. Very much like her in the show.
Oh, Lil Rory. Okay, Lil Rory, so
nice transition.
Yeah, this is man. Hey. Is this your first podcast?
Second podcast, although the first one, I don't believe it ever aired.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
So this will be your first release podcast.
This is the debut cast.
Okay.
So this is it.
I love it, man. Yeah. So, well, give us a little background. Did you ever watch Gilmore Girls before?
Oh, man.
Coming onto this show and being forced to.
I was thinking about this when I got the call.
Mm-hmm.
I started thinking. I was like, I've definitely seen several episodes of Gilmore Girls, and I remember
volitionally, like by your own will.
Nah, yes and no. I mean, yeah, in the sense that, let me explain.
Sure.
I was dating a girl in high school, and she was obsessed with Gilmore Girls. She would have me watch them religiously. Although I would just kind of pop in throughout the season. So I already saw like the first two episodes, and then I saw the third one the other day, and then watched the fourth one twice.
This was your first time watching the show, watching the third and fourth in like years.
Yeah, exactly. I was a little removed from it, but it was, it felt good. Felt good.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it, actually.
Awesome.
I enjoyed it much more than I remember.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being, like, dating this girl, and I was like, oh, I gotta watch that show about chicks again. Because I come from a house with, I have three brothers. There are no girls in that house besides my mom.
Yeah, it's just a bro down hoedown.
It is disgusting. There's a lot of dicks in my household.
Okay.
And
turned that explicit rating on iTunes.
I heard the first episode where you're like, are we allowed to say fuck? And then you were like, yeah, we're going to say fuck. Yeah. And so I was like, great.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Well, no, I was telling Demi in the last episode, when you upload a podcast to iTunes, you either have to put clean or explicit. So there's actually, and we didn't know this when we started, but there's actually two other Gilmore Girls podcasts. But one, they're hosted by women.
Yeah,
what do women know?
Gross.
And second of all, neither of them are explicit. We're the only explicit Gilmore Girls podcast
on
iTunes.
We're reaching the 18 to 34. They are going for like the 6 to 12.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, you guys are doing God's work. I mean, you're bringing in a whole new audience.
We'd like to think so.
To Gilmore Girls. You know, I mean, I'm a fan now. You got one.
So you are a fan?
Yeah. Oh.
You converted?
I think I'm going to watch the entire thing.
The cult
thing.
Is spreading.
Well,
yes.
Also,
I mean, the group of fans.
Also, I'm going to be on the podcast many more times.
Yeah, you know, I hope so.
We were actually going to do the thing like, hey, Anthony, will you come on again? You'd be like, yeah, I'd love to. But I guess we'll just get that out of the way here.
Is that a bit you guys planned without me? You were like, you did not tell me about that.
No. We don't do bits. We don't. This is a no bit zone.
This is no bit zone. NBC.
As a matter of fact, let's play the theme song for No Bit Zone.
Yeah, okay. Oh. Take it away, Demi.
No bits.
I feel like that was a bit.
No,
that was the theme
song. Did you
song.
Not? We'll do it again. No bits, Anthony.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that the remix?
Yeah,
no, the remix goes a little something like this.
Nubbits.
Dang.
Darling.
They get, was that Fergie?
No, it was Pitbull.
Oh, it's Pitbull. Okay.
He did a guest on. We didn't ask him to.
Yeah. I mean, he loves Gilmore Girls as well. Oh, you guys should get Pitbull on the show.
Who?
Pitbull? Yeah.
This is true. This is no bit zone. I don't know who Pitbull is, really. I truly do not.
Why does that bring me so much joy?
I know he's a guy. He's bald, right?
Let's do the reverse of this podcast where you don't know who Pitbull is and I know everything about Pitbull. We'll call it the Pitbull Pals.
Pitbull Pals?
Ooh. Pitbull Pals. Come to iTunes this
It just
winter.
Sounds like Pimple Pals.
Get in the pit.
Get in the pit.
Got it.
Get in the pit with the Pitbull Pals.
I'll introduce you to Pitbull. You'll hate him.
Oh, yeah, my God.
But we love you.
Have you seen a Pepsi commercial?
No. I've never seen
a Pepsi. Do you not own a radio or see a billboard?
Fiat?
I don't look at billboards.
Is he doing Fiat still?
He's doing everything.
Pitbull?
Yeah. You ever been to a Target?
Yeah, but I don't... Is he playing over the speaker? Does he have like endorsement deals?
Was he Domilo Gasolina?
That's Daddy Yankee.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
you guys are laughing, and I feel
left Anthony.
Out.
I keep calling you Tony, as a joke, and then I'm like, oh,
Tony.
I don't smoke enough cigarettes or, have a permanent toothpick in my mouth, so
you
I
You don't like being called Tony?
I don't.
I think you got the hair for a Tony, but...
Well, that means I need to get a haircut.
You got good hair. Tony's got good hair.
Do you have any other nicknames besides Tony?
Oh, man, I got... So many people will just call me any variation of any name that starts with A and T. So Anton, Antoine, Antwonski, Antoine Fisher. Somebody called me Antoine Fisher Oaks, which was a weird addition.
Antoine Fisher Oaks.
I grew up in
Antoine Fisher Stevens. That's what I would call you.
I would call you the Antoine
Short
Fisher
Circuit
King.
Too, bro.
Whoa,
Johnny Five's a lot.
Or Early Edition. Did you guys watch that?
Yeah. Oh my God,
Fisher Stevens. Dude.
Yes.
And Kyle Chandler
I would honestly do like I. Love Early Edition.
Oh,
so
I loved that
cat
show.
Oh,
guys, we're an inclusive show.
We haven't started talking about Gilmore Girls.
Do we need to?
No, let's do this. Is comfortable.
Yeah,
guys, you guys have fans who are expecting us to talk about Gilmore Girls.
How many people do you think for real downloaded our podcast yesterday? We launched it yesterday, and you were one of them, I guess, because you listened to the show. So, how many total downloads do you think we got?
Well, I didn't download, I streamed.
I think it still counts. I think that's still like a download.
All right.
Or maybe it doesn't. That'd be crazy. If
I'm going to go.
They'd be very specific.
I'm going to go with a high five. No, I mean, yeah, we're going to high five.
We just high
five. I mean, the most people who listen is maybe five people.
Five people?
Is that low? That's
pretty ambitious.
That's what, I mean, okay, when we started this podcast all these years ago.
Uh-huh.
The goal was at least 100 people.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
And we got more than that. I don't want to disclose. Did I say it on the last episode?
You did not.
I didn't. No. Okay.
Wait.
We got more than 100.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
I meant crazy. 500. That's what I really meant.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, we got around that.
Yeah. I was about to say, it may feel tacky to say it was around that.
Yeah, we got around that. But with the old Anthony Trolley bump.
Well, no, is it a bump? I feel like it's more of a decline.
It depends on if we get we get a vine going in here.
All right.
Right?
Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah, let's make a vine that for the rest of the podcast, we would just be like, wait, no, we can record. Let's re-record that.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't know about you.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be the professional one here,
sure.
But I want to talk about Gilmore Girls.
And yet, why are we not
I am ready.
This is the most we've ever... We're 14 minutes into this episode. We haven't watched. We haven't,
14? Oh, my God.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it.
You got your homework
okay,
to do
let's
on
do
this
it.
One.
Let's get into it.
Okay. Right.
Well, first of all, here's how we... You just bumped your mic so hard.
I bumped
hard.
The fucking mic.
And you need to be closer to it. Just a little bit.
This is the fourth episode. I should be a professional by now.
I know.
All right,
I'll just have to level out the EQs and the booth
levels
for professional talk. Okay, we're gonna start this show how we start out every episode, beginning with episode 2, which is we're gonna do pop
goes
the
culture.
It's a supercut of all the pop culture references on the show. Let's take a listen to it right now.
Are you a B-52s girl?
Right above Gauchos, but just below the Flashdance phase. Wouldn't want you to get in trouble with Il Duce here.
No Black Sabbath, no Steely Dan, no Boston, and no Queen. what happened to make you so cold? Be like that Mozart.
He once told me that you loved Saved by the Bell. What could be more humiliating than that?
I am the Erty Shaw of harpists.
Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with a remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark.
The whole thing.
Unknown,
oh my God.
Although his height be taken.
Shakespeare!
Sorry, this is an audio only thing, but Kevin was so ready for the Shakespeare at the end.
I was really
stoked for
that.
He jumped up and hit the lamp.
Almost broke the Pixar lamp's big brother.
Yeah.
Larger
Pixar.
Luxo Senior.
Guys, I love the fact that you just brought up like all of the notes that I have coming into this.
we just ruined all of them.
Okay, so usually, we say usually like, we've said it so much, but when we say usually, it's the fourth episode.
We mean like yesterday when
yeah,
we did
or
this.
Or a minute, like 20 minutes ago. Yeah. We point out like the most esoteric or obscure reference that we did not. Most of those check out. I'm the Arty Shaw.
I had to Google him.
I Googled the crap out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
This is an educational show because I'm seriously learning.
I'm learning things.
Yeah. Arty Shaw was a clarinetist, right?
Yeah.
He was like the big jazz king clarinetist.
I don't know what that means.
How that applies. I don't know why Lil Lois Griffin is the Arty Shaw of harpist.
Peter. How's Peter?
That's really bad.
There's a lot of weird crossover with Family Guy and Gilmore Girls.
Is there?
Yeah. Well, because Daniel Palladino was married, or is, they're still together. Married to Amy Sherman Palladino, who runs the show, who runs Gilmore Girls, and he writes for Gilmore Girls as well. But I believe at the time it premiered, he was writing for Family Guy. And so Family Guy let him out of his contract early so he could work on Gilmore Girls. And then in season two, there's a weird joke. Stewie says, like, I just got a guest spot on the Gilmore Girls. I play Roy's boyfriend or something like
that.
That's
an A+ impression, by the way.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
I enjoyed it.
I think it's effort that counts more than anything else, hopefully. That's why I'm hoping my wife believes in the future.
My wife. Gotta drop it in.
My wife. Right. I think My Love by Justin Timberlake when people say...
My wife, so don't go away. My wife, so don't give away.
Checks out, right?
It does.
I'm into it.
So you like this episode. You legit enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it. But like, can we just really talk... Can we talk about something really quick about this? Because I have a few notes about everything we just had. So let's start with Lorelai... talking about how she says, you once told me you loved Saved by the Bell. What could be more humiliating than that?
There's a few things, probably.
I feel like a lot of people like Saved by the Bell.
I like Saved by the Bell. I think it's cheesy, but...
Yeah, but you enjoy it. Like, there's something about it. You watch, you eat breakfast, and you go, I wonder what's going to happen with the... with Screech this episode.
You eat breakfast like such a fuddy-duddy.
I'm just so curious. I'm like, these Rice Krispies are great. But I gotta know what's happening with Screech.
Truthfully, I think that probably comes from Amy Sherman Palladino being from a different generation that has no 90s nostalgia.
Right.
So for her, it is like, oh, that's a lame, dumb show.
Yeah.
Because for our generation, it's like, we grew up on that. That was Saturday morning, blah, blah, blah. But for her, it's like, oh, it's dumb.
I like to think, though, that she was trying to take a stab at somebody over there.
Oh, like Mark Paul Gosselaar was an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the original Chad Michael Murray, and he had some trouble on the set or something.
Yeah. You guys, there's a lot of things that I dug really deep into, including that line. I mean, that was like, I was like, there's
gotta reference-wise?
There's got to be some beef. But going, I think the other reference... coming from that is Max, the teacher.
Max Medina. Mr. Medina.
Which, by the way, great Mexican-American name. Max Medina.
Medina.
That's a fantastic name.
Is that Mexican-American or is it like a...
I think the name at least is. I don't know if he is.
No, but like the name.
Yeah.
Max is... Is Max American?
Max is... I feel like Maximilian is... Roman and some. So it's like adapted American.
Okay.
Guys, we can play the name game all night long.
It doesn't matter. So Max asks Lorelai if she's a B-52 girl, and she says, no, but I had this shirt in my car, raising the question, whose shirt is it?
That's what I wrote down. Why did she have that shirt in her car?
Guys, I never thought about this.
Could it belong... Actually, I don't know who it belongs to.
She said, no, I'm not a B-52's girl.
And had the shirt in her car, though.
Maybe it's Rory's? But can they share shirts? Because if you remember the last episode,
you're stretching it out.
They're how do I say this delicately?
Boobies.
Their titties are different sizes.
You said the least delicate possible way.
How do three men say boobs without sounding misogynistic?
And the T word, I'm sorry, Mom, if she's listening to this. I keep apologizing to my mom like I'm assuming she's listening to this.
Right.
She's probably not going to. But sorry, Mom. I don't like the T word. Maybe I'll bleep that out.
I don't either.
I think you should come up with like a new term for breasts.
Any new term.
Let's just call them.
Be sexist.
Can we just call them front circles?
That's innocent enough. I like front circles.
It sounds scientific enough. It's almost like when dudes are like, I was talking to this female and she was a.
Had her front circles.
I'm just saying,
she had her front circles.
You guys have a show about Gilmore Girls. Front circles are going to come up quite often.
Yeah.
Ah, not as much as you would think. It's not a boob heavy show.
No, I understand it's not a boob heavy show, but I'm just saying it's going to come up in a later episode, if not this episode. Yeah. And you're going to be like, I'm so glad we came up with front circles.
Thank God.
Really came
When Emily gets implants, it's a whole thing.
Ooh.
Season 6, baby.
Season 6. It all goes out.
Yeah.
All right.
It gets cray. Okay. Other moments you wanted to focus in on, zero in on?
Should we start from the top?
We could start from
the top.
Stop. Stop.
I mean, that's the order we all took our notes in.
Here's the thing. Just coming into this episode, Rory gets a D on her test.
Yeah.
And
but she doesn't want the D.
She doesn't She does not she gets want the D. D.
Oh my God.
And here's the thing. Those like geeky girls, because I mean they're all.
It's Chilton.
Yeah, it's
they're
Chilton. All nerdy. They're all nerds. Yeah, they were so rude.
They're so mean to her.
Like unbelievably rude. Like I went to a public high school, and it was a pretty nice public high school. I'm not gonna lie. Well, it was nice. It was. It wasn't like, you know, there's no security guards really. Right. So, you know, no one got stabbed. Unfortunately, it would have been a great story. But
would have been. But I brought you on the podcast for some good ass stories, and you tell me there's nothing
for
there.
Some good.
Oh no,
ass
I got
stories.
I've got other stories. But you know, like these people, these nerds were just so mean. Like what was the word that they used? They were like, "Oh, you got a D, you're gonna work at McDonald's." Like, chill out.
Yeah,
it was very harsh.
It's a very extreme thing. I liked to start off classes with a D because then it's like kind of a kick in the pants. Yeah. It's like, hey. Better get
Is
it.
Is that
together.
The kind of student you were? You would start off with a D and then work your way up?
Well, I did pretty well. Again, humble brag. I did pretty well in high school, but I kind of just paid attention in class and did pretty well on tests and things like that. But it was always kind of like the first couple weeks of the semester where you're like, I can coast. And you realize real quickly.
While falling off a cliff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like Thelma and Louise, just.
It, I mean, it's bugged me the past few episodes how much Paris is like constantly on her case, and I'm sure we'll get resolution to that.
Yeah, because there's no dimension to it.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like she's not fighting back. There's no reason for her to be this mean, and I feel like if I were Paris, I'd get to a point where it's like, oh, I'm kind of an asshole, aren't I? But
maybe the real monster is me.
Yeah. Who is that girl I see?
Is that a Pitbull song?
It Dally. Should be.
Okay.
He's going to cover it, though.
Who's the girl I see?
Dally. Yeah, so most of this episode revolves around, like, well, yeah, all of it revolves around Chilton stuff.
Yeah.
Richard and Emily are nowhere to be seen in the whole episode.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
There's, I thought Emily popped up very silently in the PTA meeting, because there's a woman in the front who looks exactly like her, and they don't mention it. I was like, oh, wait, that's weird.
Maybe a background what lady canceled.
Maybe.
Like, and Kelly, we need you.
Kelly, you gotta get in there. No, but they don't pop up for the entire episode, which is strange considering the subject matter, and you think they'd be like, she's failing because she's hanging out with you, or something like that, I don't know. It seems like a very softball thing for them to blame Rory's failure on Lorelai, but I mean the episode still is an A+.
Well, let's not give our ratings quite yet.
Also,
we gotta save that.
We
for
don't
the
do
end.
Grades.
Yeah, we don't do. Well, yeah, we do.
We do grades, but they're numbered.
We do like 3 out of 5, and then we make things. Up a rating system.
Yeah.
Well, you know who was in the episode though? I know you guys are bummed.
Who's that?
And Emily wasn't there, but Mr. CMM. Chad Michael
Chad
Murray.
Michael Murray.
Chad Mikes.
I want to do shove that guy in the mud.
Yeah, he, okay, I didn't think he was that creepy in 102.
He was a bit rapey in that.
He's
but yeah,
so...
in 104, he's a little rapey.
Oh my God.
That's not good.
That, like, he kind of comes up to her and he's like, "Sup, Mary?" And so clearly, like, has his, like, the name wrong. But here's the thing.
There's a thing in, like, the second or first episode.
He does it on purpose, not as a getting your name wrong thing, right. But as, like, Mary is an old, old, old-fashioned term for, like, a goody-goody.
Yeah.
Got it. Virgin Mary.
It's anyway, not like, hey, Cynthia. No, it's Rory.
Again, I only watched those episodes once. I watched this one twice. Right. I took notes. Honestly, though, here's the thing. I don't care how douchey Chad Michael Murray may be. I don't find it believable that anybody could turn him down. I would not turn down Chad Michael Murray.
That's true?
I wouldn't turn down current day Chad Michael Murray, Fruitvale Station Chad Michael Murray.
Fruitvale Station?
Yes.
Watch
Fruitvale Station.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll talk about this on our Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Friends.
Mm-hmm. Fruitvale Friends podcast. Where we discuss. Anyway, 2000s era, One Tree Hill, Chad Michael Murray.
Bleach blonde
it.
Tips.
Really?
Yeah, not that about it.
That was Chad Michael Murray in his prime.
I know, which is why I'm...
I don't know. Looks-wise or ability-wise?
I'm talking popularity-wise.
I'm talking, like, everything-wise. Like, I'm not even gay, and I'm into it. Like,
yeah.
I saw Cinderella's Story like six times.
That was the, I was trying to think of what's the romantic comedy.
Hillary Duff one.
It's now, you know what? I'm on board again. Chad Michael Murray, about it.
There you go.
What I thought would actually be funny is if someone like started a podcast where they go through all those Disney Channel movies.
Yeah.
Where it's like Smart House and Alley Cat Strike.
Yeah.
Phantom of the Multiplex.
Megaplex.
Hey guys, I just started a podcast.
What's that?
It's about Disney Channel original movies.
No way.
What?
And do you guys want to be on it?
Yes.
Yeah, right. I love it.
I'll wait till episode 4.
What's it called? Is it just called Disney Dudes?
Disney Dudes. Yes,
exactly.
You know, podcast titles don't have to be alliterative. I'm kind of just stuck on it.
They have to be alliterative, and if you're guys, make sure to mention it in the title so you don't accidentally go in thinking you're going to hear some women.
Let's do a little fashion report real quick.
La 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 la. Fashion.
Okay.
That was neat.
Wasn't it?
That was cool.
We're going to actually record a jingle. But
one of just days.
Lorelai's red leather jacket. What do you guys think? Pro, con, yay,
wait,
nay?
What seems this? I got to.
I actually mentally remember this one. I was into it. I thought it was cool. I think, here's the thing. I mean, that episode came out in 2000, and oddly enough, I feel like that jacket is back. That wouldn't fly in 2006, but it's 2014. I feel like it's cool.
Yep, I feel the same way.
What scene was this? For some reason, I'm having trouble.
It was one of the first ones.
Really?
Yeah, I believe.
I think it made a few appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, is this when she first meets Max Medina?
No, because she's wearing a blazer with the B-52 shirt.
Right.
Which is obviously, and truthfully, I actually do like blazers with a t-shirt. On a girl, so I'd be into that. I don't think it's too much.
No,
I mean, it's good with the blouse, too, if you want the professional look.
Guys, really quick, I mean, just going to that Max Medina scene, why does Lorelai love coffee so much?
Like, dude, she loves coffee.
She loves coffee, and no one's talking about it.
No, yeah. Luke mentions it occasionally.
Well, at one point, she does say coffee, 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 right?
Yeah.
And that's her.
Just reminded me of Chelsea Peretti.
I feel like there's got to be a backstory, like some kind of Coke phase that's not coming up.
Oh yeah, and she.
Oh, you think she has an addictive personality?
Possibly. I'm just saying. Wow.
Yeah,
you're diving deep.
You really are. Guys, I'm impressed.
Wait till we get to the deer. Okay.
Oh man, you think that's some sort of
symbolism? I have some thoughts on that too. Actually,
I'm gonna wait.
You've done this before,
guys. We're still in the fashion report.
Yeah, my bad.
Suki has too many pigtails. In the kitchen scenes, they're like coming out of her head, her bandana, like a spider.
I disagree. You are never going to hear me say a bad word about Suki.
Really?
I'm not saying, I know.
I think she looks great. I love the pigtails.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I think it especially works. Sorry.
We were just going to keep doing this.
Talking over
it? Yeah.
I was just,
guys, being behind the microphone is a skill you have to learn over time. and we're all learning together.
Smoothest voice in the business.
A skill in a world where you have to learn skills over time.
I feel like Suki's hair kind of looked like that Wachowski brother who turned Wachowski's sister. Am I right? Okay, I'm glad you know that reference because there was remember that back in the day, or it was like 2 years ago when they came out with the Cloud Atlas.
During the Cloud Atlas.
It was like, hey, just want to make sure you guys know we're not the Wachowski brothers anymore.
Sibs. Siblings.
Lana Wachowski, mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
I can't picture her hair, so I don't get the reference.
It's a very obscure reference, but
deep cut.
To the Gilmore Guys popular fans who know that, they'll go, yeah, no, I see it.
Yeah, they'll say it checks out.
To the crossover between Gilmore Girls and Cloud Atlas fans, which is a huge Venn diagram.
You think that's a pretty large Venn diagram, do you?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that movie, but
were like the only one.
Weirdly enough, I bought that movie like less than a month ago, and I still haven't watched it ever.
For a Vine?
Can we watch it? We talked about... Sorry, side note. Drunk movie night.
DMN.
Yes. We actually are doing shitty movie nights. We're now making plans on this podcast for no one else to join in.
Check out what are you doing Friday?
Friday.
Back to fashion.
What's funny is Luke is dressed like a hipster.
He is.
You know? Even though that's so not hipster then.
Which one was Luke again?
Coffee Luke.
He gives her pie at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Luke is so strange at this point in the show.
It's so funny because it's such a female-centric show, and usually in criticisms about most TV shows, it's the women are underdrawn, underdeveloped. They're only defined by their relationship with the men.
Yeah.
Luke is 100% defined by his relationship with the women.
Of course.
It's such a funny reversal. I love
great.
It so much.
I love it. Good.
Yeah.
I enjoy how mysterious he is. It's like he's dirty but lovable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're never going to see him without dirty a stain. Man. He's always going to have a stain on his shirt. But like
even when he dresses up nicely.
He comes through with that pie in the end, man.
It's so weird how I mean, obviously, I can tell, like, also from having seen parts of the show in the background of viewings, like, years ago, I know that Luke becomes, like, a bigger part of the series, and it's totally so weird now that that happens, because he's nothing right
he's
now.
He's just he might as well be Kirk.
Right, yeah.
Or not Kirk, or whoever
I feel
Kirk
like
is. Yeah.
He's doing Gilmore Girls' version of walking in and going like, hey, I'm your bartender, want some coffee? All right, and throwing a rag over his shoulder and
except
walking
out. Those moments in 102... Because they give some emphasis to that. It just isn't consistent.
Right.
They just keep putting it on ice, which is fine.
It's like if they made a Miss Patty episode.
Which they don't, I would love. Unfortunately. I mean, she gets a lot more lines later on, but there's no, like, they don't really do episodes actually about the townies the show. Which I'm starting to figure out, like, kind of the way the show's set up. We were talking about how, like, there's a strong, solid core of, like, realistic and emotionally grounded relationships between, like, Rory and Lorelai and Emily and Richard and Luke. But then surrounding that is chaos, which I feel is like the exact same setup on 30 Rock, but just smaller because Jack and Liz are like, you totally get it. It totally makes sense on an emotional level. And then around them is insanity.
Right.
So you like earn it with that grounded center, you know?
Right, yeah.
But it's still like quirky enough to where it's fun. I mean, one of the greatest scenes I thought from this episode that even establishes some good relationship is where Lorelai comes in and she wants ice cream and Rory's studying. She's like, no, I can't, I'm studying. She's like, come on,
yeah,
get ice cream. And I thought it's quirky, but it's also like, oh, that's right, she's like the fun hip mom and her daughter's like the kind of serious one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it,
which is a fun reversal, and I think too just kind of a good continued establishment of Lorelai's infallibility, because as it happens, well, let's actually go through it. So they study all night, oversleeps, and then Rory rushes to school and gets hit by a deer.
Oh boy,
we're you have some thoughts about this?
Wow.
Oh man, okay. So she's on her way. She's very flustered.
Yeah.
Very, very flustered, and she stops to call her friend
on the
lane.
On the
brick of a cell phone.
Yeah, a very 2000s flip phone.
Oh, it was.
Was it even a flip phone? It looked like a
Was it?
Okay, I take your word for it.
I thought it was like same phone that they give Michael Douglas back when he gets out of jail. Like, it looked the exact same.
It kind of did. I feel like it was like turn of the century then. It's like, oh, Gilmore Girls, fancy phone.
So she stops at this stop sign to call Lane. And Lane, her friend, who is sitting in the closet, by the way, whose closet
is huge.
Yeah. It's, first of all, it's huge, and it's creepier than Buffalo Bill's house. Like,
you think so?
It is terrifying in there.
That's what a girl would have, right?
A girl would just hang out in her closet with a TV and a red, like an odd red light.
Go ahead.
I only think it's weird because the rest of her room is so normal. There's nary a poster. The bed is perfect.
Yeah, could be four.
Well, you know what that is, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
because of her secret life from her mom.
Of course.
Anyway,
by the way, do you guys think the characterization, because Mrs. Kim ends up being one of my favorite townie characters, definitely. Like, just all the best relationships on the show truly are mother and daughter.
Yeah.
It's Lane to Mrs. Kim, Lorelai to Emily. But do you think her characterization is a little bit racist?
I was thinking that too, but I gotta be honest, I don't know enough of my, like, Asian friends' parents to know if that's racist or not. It just felt really racist.
So are we racist for thinking that's racist?
I don't know. I don't think it's...
Demi, can you weigh on this? Another race.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Demi's black. Another one of them. No, I am black. We were keeping that a secret.
Oh, my bad.
It's cool. We'll edit it.
I don't know. We put up the art. I think the secret's out.
Oh, yeah. Nah, we're good.
All
right. But... I mean, it is a stereotype that Asian parents are traditionally...
Tiger mom.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I don't think that... Like, I don't think if they changed it to be like, oh, Lane and Mrs. Kim are actually, I don't know, like, Italian or something. I don't think that would make the thing weaker, so I think it's fine that they're not leaning on the race as being like, oh, Asian moms, huh? So...
Am I right?
Yeah.
The only thing is, Emily Kuroda, who plays Mrs. Kim, I've seen her in a bunch of other stuff, and that's not her natural accent at all.
Really?
Yeah. So Lane has a fine Americanized accent, and then Mrs. Kim is, you want table for $300? I give you $250.
Oh, boy.
And it's not, I mean, they're not saying racist stuff, but...
And also, now that I'm thinking about it, in the first episode, there's those jokes about, like, she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to marry a doctor. I've already met him.
Right? Yeah. It seems very... Here's the thing, though, and maybe this will save us. This is a fun trivia fact. You want to do the theme for that?
Yeah, I totally remember the theme for that.
Trivia.
Whoa, neat again.
You're right.
Very cool.
Well, it was recorded.
Yeah.
That wasn't us just doing it.
We just pressed a play button.
Yeah, incredible. We just pressed a play button.
You guys are fancy.
But Lane Kim is actually based on Amy Sherman Palladino's friend, Helen Pye, who works on the show. I think it's a production designer or something.
Really?
So all of Lane's experiences do come from this real-life woman, Helen Pye's actual experiences.
Is Pye a real...
P-A-I.
Oh, I was thinking like Helen Pye, and I'm like, why did she not go into the dessert business?
Jessica Cake.
Jessica Cake.
Jessica Cakes.
Jessica Cakes. So, to get back, because I got...
Yeah, we
got
to get to the deer.
This is a whole thing we're uncovering here.
By the way, this episode is called The Deer Hunters, which I just think that's Robert another pop goes to culture reference, right?
Yeah. So Rory's sitting in her car. She calls Lane. Lane doesn't have Rory's notes. And all of a sudden, a deer hits Rory in her mom's car, in her mom's Jeep. And it leaves a huge dent. And Rory, being the sweetheart that she is, goes looking for this deer in the woods. Now, I don't really have some kind of theory behind why this happened.
This isn't really a show like Lost where you have to come up with theories.
It's not The Leftovers.
I like to think it is because I like to think it is. I know they were trying to do something. I think it was sort of a metaphor for like, hey, this is life hitting you, just kind of T-boning you.
Right.
You know?
Do you truly believe that's what
I think it was. I think it was a wake-up call because she's got this D. She's got to go. Oh,
she's got the
she's
D.
She's got the D.
I thought you were saying the deer, and I was like, no. Sorry.
She's got the D. She's going in to take this test. She's already running behind. And what happens? Boom. She gets hit by a deer.
It was inevitable.
And here's the thing. She goes out looking for this deer. She never finds the deer.
Right.
Even at the end of the episode, she goes and looks for this deer. She can't find the deer.
Oh, so it's like a metaphor. Because we're always like constantly searching for answers that we'll never find.
I feel like whoever wrote that episode was also like failed to get on the X-Files. Like they really want to be on the X-Files, but they're like, settle for Gilmore.
Right.
You think they just retooled their X-Files spec?
Yeah.
Like
the deer hunters, they didn't even change the name.
Yeah, in the spec that Rory becomes a deer.
Now that I think about it, there was a lot of "Hey Scully" from Lorelai this episode.
Yeah, there was a little. Yeah, that was weird. That they was changed weird. Names in the middle of the episode. It was crazy. Can I say this for real though?
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're saying that's a crazy thing, like a deer hitting someone.
Yeah.
100% happened to me. Actually happened to me.
I've heard about that happening to people. Yeah. So I was like, why does no one believe her? That happens.
Yeah.
My brother did something similar. He was riding his bike. And he ran into a car instead of getting hit by a car.
Yeah.
That's a little different.
Yeah.
I did the same thing, but I was drunk.
Guys, it was so great. I don't know how to tell you this, but like
when watch it?
Yeah, no, I wasn't there, but my brother comes in all flustered and he's 13 months younger than me, so mm-hmm. really close. And he comes in and he's like, dude, you're never gonna believe what happened. What happened? Dude, I was riding my bike really fast and the car pulled out and I just ran into it. Like it was pulling out of its driveway. I ran right into it. And I was like, that's awful. Like, what happened? He's, I put a huge old dent in the car. My leg really hurts, man. It is throbbing. And I'm like, when did this happen? And he's like, like an hour ago. I kept riding on it. He goes to he rode his bike for like an hour, which, by the way, he's around the corner from my house.
Yeah.
He rides the bike for an hour, comes back, goes to the doctor. He's got like a broken leg and broken growth plate and... I don't remember the science behind it, but he was I don't know what was happening. Anyways,
I wonder if the deer in this episode did the same thing.
I like to think the deer just hated cars.
Bro, you're not gonna believe. I ran into a Jeep. Like, it's
no,
the craziest
Bambi,
thing.
Listen to me.
No, I kept running for like an hour.
It was just so funny because she sees the deer for a second. Like, all you see is you hear this. And then she looks over and all you see is antlers.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird thing where my first impression was like, oh, is this a Christmas episode? And I thought it was going to be a reindeer.
They actually never have a Christmas episode on this show. Ever.
Good. I don't like themed episodes.
I don't either.
I think it takes away from the show because when I'm watching reruns later, like I don't want to watch.
It takes you out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, you just associate with that time.
It bums me out.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. and they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
All right.
One of the things I was going to say...
Wait, are we getting off the deer here, or are you...
No, let's stay on the deer. You got ride that deer. On the deer?
If you want to think in that vein of, like, not conspiracy theories, but things that are sort of meant to be more metaphors than actual events, if we take the deer as, like, the deer and the D as both things stopping her from proving that she...
You gotta take the D.
You gotta take the D. Yeah. Like, if the deer represents the D, then it's, oh my God, whoa, are you throwing some reverb on this?
I got crazy real
nope.
quick.
Keep going.
Oh. No, nothing's happening.
I got louder.
I also got louder.
Keep going.
But I also did start going like this a bit. No, if you take the deer as like a metaphor for things that are stopping her from like not necessarily proving that she's smart, but something that's stopping her, like a mental roadblock that is just like she's not going to get to the test. It doesn't matter because the D is literally like in her mind. Grow up, Kevin. The D that she got on her test is literally stopping her from, like, just proving
You're
herself.
You're telling me that Max Medina put a D on her test?
Yeah.
In front of the whole class.
Ew.
Oh, my God damn it.
Gilmore, guys.
We're guys. We got it. It's because we're guys.
Classic app so far.
All right. So... The D that she got on the test. If the deer represents that, then it's also because deer. Anyway, that's my only connection there. If it's also physically stopping her from getting there, and it's mentally stopping her from getting there. Quotes around mm-hmm. getting there, but like I don't know. I think that's a really cool. If that is not what they intended, probably, but if that is what they were going for, I think it's a really brilliant thing for them to do. Just like this deer is the physical manifestation of everything stopping her from being who she wants to be.
Yeah. So it was just another roadblock, basically.
Yeah.
Kind of a Hannibal type thing, if
right?
you think about it.
Yeah.
You guys watch Hannibal?
No.
Okay. Well, on...
I mean, I know what you're referring to because I know there's a lot of animal symbolism in the show.
Right, because Hannibal's like the stag and Will Graham keeps seeing the...
We could do a True Detective one. We're going to talk about antlers.
Hannibal...
Hannibal heads?
Hannibal heads!
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. What's True Detective?
I was going to say, I mean, like, True Detective had all that stuff about antlers.
Yeah.
That could be something. It was this show inspired True Detective.
Do we like Max Medina? Do you guys like him?
I do.
I actually wrote down that he is the first of Lorelai, or of any suitors in the show that I'm
just
not
males.
Like, yeah, she's the first of men in the show that I'm not immediately like, what is wrong with you? Although, I also wrote down that he almost fucks it up near the end when he's like, on the phone.
Answering machine?
Yeah, on the answering machine.
Uh-huh.
It's a pleasure in... Counter.
Yeah, it was borderline,
it
right?
It got weird. And here's the thing, because honestly, like, Rory's supposed to be what, 16?
She's 16 on the show. She's a sophomore. Yeah.
She's a sophomore. if I heard that message, I'd be like, oh my God, my teacher wants to have sex with my mom.
Yeah.
Like,
immediately.
Oh my God. It is like, Max, Mr. Medina. Like, she'd go in the next day and be like, oh, you're not going to let me take the test?
You can't fuck my mom, man.
You can't fuck my mom. Like, that's crazy, right?
I'm blocked the entire process.
But he was really sweet at first. Like he had this tough love to him.
Yeah.
I thought it was like kind of weird when he was like, oh, I know I may look charming, but kind of a hard ass. Like, he says that to the class or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's a little bit of a weird line to say to your whole class.
He was the one that went Shakespeare, too, wasn't he?
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Yeah. I like him.
I love him.
I do like him.
I do like him. I think that, I think Lorelai likes him.
You guys Team Max or Team Luke?
Currently, I'm Team Max.
I'm Team Max.
Because Team Luke, if we just take it for face value, Team Luke is a weird flannel-dressing hippie who's mean and hates that he serves food.
All their dates will be like, how's the pie? That's cool.
Yeah, that's it.
And he's just feeding into her coffee addiction, so yeah. I can't support that.
She's using him.
Yeah, he is an enabler, if you think about it like that.
Yeah, he is like...
Although he doesn't want to at the beginning. Right. The first line of the first episode...
How can you say no to that face, though?
That you met, the first line is, please, 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 because he's like, no, you've had too many.
Right.
But the kind of clue with Lorelai and Max's trajectory together is the rom-com trope of she enters the meeting and immediately trips over the globe.
Yeah.
Like she sprints into the globe.
By the way, that meeting, that entire scene was terrific.
It really was.
I loved it.
It felt like... Because here's... I mean, like going to the school that I went to, that was how all the parents were, man. Same way. They were just these stuck-up snobs. So concerned. Like, they would have paid off the AP test people.
Yeah.
Like, they totally would have, the people they I went to high school
when
with.
He jokingly went, you could bribe the AP committee, they all turned to each other, and then he has to go, I was kidding, before they turned back and smiled to him. But, and that was such a great...
It was great, but here's the thing. Why would Lorelai want to come to the test?
Come to the... Yeah,
she
that
wants
I didn't
to be
get.
There yeah. for the test. And the way she plays it off is the guy goes, it's a test. And she goes, do you like golf? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, you explain yours, I'll explain mine. And I was like, well, that doesn't answer the question.
Yeah, that's more of an opinion than...
Yeah.
Because what's she going to do? Is she cheating? Is she helping her?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Maybe she thinks for like moral support. I don't know.
And the more the series goes on, actually, the more they're showing Lorelai as being... unstable. Because when she bursts into the headmaster's office and she gives him the business, calls him,
loved that,
Il Duce,
sick rap.
Mussolini, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was the one. I almost threw up my arms just like, oh, great line. Good one.
I mean, Mussolini always gets a
Mussolini's always gets me.
Gets a holla. That's the star's holla there.
What was the head honcho's accent, by the way?
Headmaster Charles.
Headmaster Charles.
It's like Frasier.
Yeah.
It's not British.
I have a cold,
maybe.
And also I like England, kind of.
God, Niles.
It seems like he wore a scarf once and was like, this is me for now.
Yeah.
That was like his origin story as a 13-year-old
My idea of a professor is Indiana Jones.
I want to be a headmaster when I grow up.
Yeah.
Because Michelle does point out, the man with the funny accent on the phone is calling.
Yeah.
He's talking about headmaster.
Is he like, talking about headmaster?
Yeah.
He has to be. Who else could... It's not Medina.
Yeah. I thought it was... For some reason, I thought it was Medina, but I didn't give much thought to the fact that he doesn't really... His accent is just kind of like, I talk quietly, but also very enunciative whenever I'm not lecturing.
He could be like a ladies' 900 number operator, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Lorelai went in on him, though. And I was down. I was like, Mama Bear is here.
Mama Bear...
I've been waiting for this all
here
this
now.
Honey.
You've been waiting for it the whole episode.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like, she's got to lay down the law.
No.
I mean, I loved it. I don't know.
I think she was wrong. I think she was totally out of place.
Really?
Yeah, because it's their school.
I mean,
she can't.
I think they were right in the fact that, like, of course she can't take the test again. I'm sorry. That's how schools work.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I felt like, I mean, actually, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, she was wrong. But in the moment of you saying that, for some reason, I was like, no, she was right.
Guys,
and maybe that's just...
Hold on. Really quick. The real question comes from the pilot episode, and I hate to do like a callback to that episode.
Please call back.
She gets into Chilton like midway through the year.
Yeah.
That's weird. You don't switch to a private school midway through the year like that.
Well...
You do if you're old money.
If you're a Gilmore.
If you're a Gilmore.
In Stars Hollow,
yeah,
anything is possible.
Emily knew the Chancellor, right?
Yeah, she like boned him or something.
Which is
like
weird.
Forrest Gump's mom style.
Yeah. But going back to like Lorelai going in, I mean, whether she's right or wrong, there is a really great moment right after that scene where Rory says, like, pull over, I want to go find this deer.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorelai stops her when they get out of the car and is like, do you want to go to Harvard or is this just me, you know, pressing this on to you?
Right.
Like, you know, is this Rory's actual choice? And that was like a kind of a... It was answered, but not really answered.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know, it was very interesting. It was like an interesting moment of like, is Rory not saying yes? She doesn't really say yes or no. And it's like, if she said no, would she disappoint her mom? Or I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, we talked about it in the last episode.
We sort of bled that into this episode. But
Well, that's why we don't have to talk about it then.
No.
That was on you. That was on us. No, we're the dummies. Because,
we are the dummies.
Because it was totally in this episode.
I mean...
We'll just have to get better at next.
I don't think she's projecting it onto her. Although she does make a joke at the very first episode when she finds out that Rory gets in, where she's like, I can force you to do all the things I wanted to do and then resent you for it. And like, that was kind of a joke, but I mentioned in the first episode of the podcast, like, kind of seemed like a little truth bleeding.
Yeah, there's a little edge. Mm-hmm. There's a little edge.
But I don't know if it is actually that way or if, like, because Rory seems like the kind of girl who would always be dreaming of Harvard. But again, that could have just been.
But why is it? It's the chicken and the egg thing.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's chicken and the egg.
What were your parents like? We talked about our parents on the last one.
What were my parents like?
Yeah, like, dude, were they supportive or were they?
My parents were weird. So, like I said, I grew up with three brothers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sports were so big in my house. And I sucked at sports. I was the kind of guy, my brothers made the Little League All-Star team every single year. I made it, I didn't make it once.
Into senior year of high school.
Oh, yeah, they kept playing. They were playing with 12-year-olds. Yeah, exactly.
We're playing on our knees with shoes.
They were teaching 12-year-olds how to shave.
Wow.
Yeah, they were doing that. But no, so my parents were interesting. Like, they didn't, I was the middle child. I was the upper middle child. So, I mean, there's a lot of truth in the fact that, like, your parents don't really pay that much attention to you. So I was off making videos and, like, sketches with my friends and stuff like that. And when it came to college, they were just like, well, there's four of you guys. Like, you know, if you get into a big school, you know, we might not be able to pay for it. So if you could just, you know, maybe it wasn't like that. It wasn't like money was that tight or anything like that. But it was more or less like, hey, maybe go to a community college for 2 years and figure it out.
Right.
I lucked out because I ended up getting a scholarship to go to school. And then all of a sudden my parents were like, whoa, this whole time we haven't been paying attention to Anthony and he's been making these goofy videos with his friends and it's paying for his college now. And there was like this really weird game changing moment where they're like, now I'm the golden boy.
Wow.
And it was a weird twist. Mm-hmm. It was a weird twist to that story. Don't feel bad for me. I don't want you to like feel like, oh.
I do not at all.
Good. Yeah, no. Okay, I'm glad because you guys got real quiet there.
Oh, and I'm just like, listening.
Guys, I'm happy about myself. I'm doing the Go Poor Guys podcast.
You've made it.
I made it.
This is Hollywood.
Exactly. You can't see it right now because it's a podcast, but Anthony's crying.
I'm just, there are tears.
He's laughing. He's, yeah.
It's okay. One of those painful laughs.
We're here for you, buddy.
Anyways, that's what my parents were like. So, I mean, they were always like, you have to go to college, but it wasn't like, hey, go to Harvard. You know what I mean? It was like, same. Just do something. Yeah. You know?
We love you no matter what. Was it really like, we love you no matter what?
I didn't really like have my parents tell me they loved me that much.
Oh, now.
Oh, man.
Wow. You guys are really. We're going to get
this on. Lorelai. Next segment. Suki's crazy in this one.
No, I'm kidding.
How do we feel about Suki's storyline?
I was going to bring that up because this was getting weird.
I'm happy about it. Obviously, I'm a Suki fan.
Are you a chef? Because one of the big things about the episode was Suki makes this risotto, which gets reviewed.
The magic risotto.
Her magic risotto, which apparently cured her mom. Her mom was on her deathbed, and so Suki gave her mom her risotto. And she lived for 3 more years.
Yeah.
Which doesn't belittle the fact that she's still dead. But either way.
I mean, the idea is that it kept her going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Hanukkah miracle of her
kitchen. Me, this was the most sitcom-y plot.
Yeah.
Thus far in the show, like the series as we're experiencing
it. Very much
it,
so.
It was like that she would get hung up. Like I could see this being on like a CBS multicam.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you like the risotto?
Right.
But because it's her, like you love it.
Yeah.
But I feel the weird thing though was when she shows up. I mean, she does pursue this to the point of insanity.
Yeah.
It gets a little weird. Goes to the guy's
house. That at that point I was like, "Oh, wow, this isn't sitcom-y anymore." It's kind of, it's trying to, I think, like, it's actually, like, crushing her.
Mental.
Yeah.
Well, do you ever cook? Like, you guys, I know Demi doesn't cook. What about you, Kevin?
I don't.
No?
I wish I did.
I cook a lot.
I don't cook currently, but, sorry, continue.
No, it's okay.
Hey, the only cook I'm about is Sam. Am I right?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
I know, but, wow, because
you know.
He's pointing at Demi because he's black. Pointing at
me because I'm an African-American.
There you go. Sam Cooke was the reference.
Secret's out, bro.
Don't know much about history. But I know a lot about racism.
Change is gonna come until I die.
No, but if you cook something, it is a passion project.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want people to love that. I remember like cooking stuff from like my last girlfriend and being like spending hours on a meal, and then when she goes, yeah, it's good. You know, my mom makes the same thing. It's a little, you know, but I really
how
like
dare it. You?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
It's spit in my face.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I get where Suki's coming from.
And for her, it's so wrapped up into her identity. And she's such like this sweet, sensitive little soul that, of course, it would like destroy her. That, he didn't even say it was shitty. It was just like, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He said it was fine. He loved everything.
Did you guys think it was weird the way they filmed that scene? Though with him,
yeah. Why was she not facing him?
They filmed him like he was Claw from Inspector Gadget.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, mm-hmm. Was that maybe they showed up and they're like, "This guy's not SAG. What are we gonna do?" Like, I don't. But it seems so weird and such a weird stylistic choice.
Maybe he had that whole like Mark Hamill thing. Like he had a really bad accident before shooting, and his face was all screwed up.
Did that happen to Mark Hamill?
Mark Hamill, dude. From Star Wars.
Well, I know.
Yeah, did that happen to Mark Hamill?
Yeah, like in he had
Star Wars.
He had an accident like between
like Tinkles,
between 5 and 6.
Oh,
and
years old.
Yeah, his face. Yeah, 5 and 6 years old. No, episode 5 and episode 6.
Okay.
And they had to like reconstruct his face.
Really?
I know, that's not true? Like I don't know I if they had to reconstruct his face, this. But he had something. Guys, look, this. I mean, this is...
Mark Hamill, if you're listening, we love you.
This is coming from somebody who was told from somebody else. So don't take it as truths, because I feel like in the comment section, which is going to blow up off this...
We already have 5 reviews.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're already...
One of them is confused.
I love that review so much.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyways, yeah, no, maybe he's just... In a world where Mark Hamill's face got screwed up between 5 and 6...
In a world where Mark Hamill's face got screwed up.
Anyways, maybe his face was screwed up and they were like, we don't want to show him anymore. This is going to ruin it. It's going to scare our fans.
But also the acting too, it sounded like temp dialogue from an editor.
It did sound
I liked your dish. I thought it was good. Maybe we'll play the clip. I've been inserting the clips into the episode, by the way.
You what?
I like when I edit them, sometimes I insert clips.
Yeah.
To keep it flowing.
Perfect.
Or I'm doing that with episode 2. Anyway, this... We shouldn't be talking about this on the podcast.
No, it's
so good. Overall, how do we rate the episode, guys?
Wait, actually, you
have a few more notes?
To talk about? I feel like I do. I feel like I didn't touch on anything. Okay.
I will say in general.
Say it. In general. Go.
School conflict is just really stressful.
It is.
When she is rushing to, like, when she oversleeps, I'm just, like, there. Like, sometimes, like, I don't resonate with a conflict, especially for, like, high school shows. But when it's, like, I overslept for a test, I'm just like, oh, they just... Yeah. Kills me
because we felt it.
I loved the fact that like there is this sweet moment which we really didn't touch upon in that whole scene where Rory's staying up trying to study and her mom falls asleep. So then Rory goes and puts the blanket on Lorelai.
Yeah.
Then Lorelai wakes up, finds Rory asleep at the table. So Lorelai, being the sweet mom that she is, goes and puts the blanket over Rory, and then they both fall asleep together. And which is a sweet moment and kind of cheesy, little cheesy, right? But then what's perfect is right after that, they we cut to the sun is up, and all of a sudden Rory's like, oh my God, I gotta go, which is totally what happens. But then all of a sudden Lorelai goes like, I shouldn't have slept like that. Or like she's more yeah. concerned about her neck.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what a great, it was like, it took that cheesy moment and made it funny.
Right.
So I really enjoy that. I like that.
Gilmore mm-hmm. Girls does that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Takes the cliches and
the show. Gilmore Girls?
The Gilmore Girls.
The Gilmore Girls.
Gossip Girl.
If you like barbecue.
The Gilmore Girls, perfect. No, but they do it a lot with taking a moment that would be otherwise cheesy in another show and turning it into something that like is played for comedy so that you kind of have to pick out the drama or emotion and it makes it more powerful.
A little WB gold right there.
WB.
The thing that I was going to say about Suki's very first, I would say, not starring role, but it's like her very first like episode.
This is her storyline. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I feel like it's so good because prior to this, she only. It's only. I mean, and even in the end of this episode, all she is a chef. She doesn't have any sort of other dimensions to her. Like we don't know anything about her family outside of her being a chef and like a perfectionist. And so when someone says like, "Yeah, but you're not the best at the one thing you do," you kind of understand where she's coming from. It being right. like, "Oh."
That's our world.
Yeah, that's all I do. Well, like, if I can't be the best at this, why am I working so hard and doing nothing? And I don't know. I thought for some reason that just got me. Like, I totally understood, despite not being a chef at all. I understood that it was like...
It was like if someone left a mean comment on one of your vines.
Yeah, vine is all I do. It's the only thing I got.
We lose sleep over that.
We lose. One time, posted a YouTube video, got a thumbs down.
Whoa. Dude, really?
Didn't eat for months.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't eat for months.
And you didn't kill yourself after that?
I didn't. I thought about it.
Wow, Demi's still. This is. That's the real story. The fact that you're still overcoming adversity like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. We love you, Demi.
So. No, I'm kidding. Hey.
You're kidding? You didn't get the thumbs down?
I didn't. I've never gotten a thumbs down. I'm great. So. The Chilton scene that I was raving about, I loved it so much because, first of all, I think the casting was perfect. Every single one of those people looked like they were actually be a real character and be like a Chilton dad that I hate or someone who just talks like this all the time and asks why we can't bribe the AP committee. And at the same time, their reactions are so overdrawn to the smallest things that Lorelai does. Just like she's like, could we be in the test? And then that one woman goes, and, like, turns to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, like fan. Oh, my God. It's crazy. And when it's, like, she's the woman that voted for scrunchies. And then Lorelai turns around and's like, excuse me? Great. All great. All around. Just it was honestly just a flawless scene. I don't know why I was like, I have to talk about that more. But
yeah, the scrunchie follow-up was great. Because Lorelai admits in the first, like one of the first scenes that she went to a parent-teacher conference and there was this big debate over whether or not girls can wear plaid scrunchies or something like that. And Lorelai was like really proud that she was an advocate for the scrunchies.
Yeah.
And so when she comes in, it was like, oh, that's the scrunchie woman. It was really funny.
Yeah.
And I think what's funny about that scene too is I think it touches upon like a big theme of the show and for Lorelai's life, which is I think... For Lorelai and Rory, they operate at their best when they are other, when they're like separated, when they're apart, or at least for sure for Lorelai, because she likes kind of being on the outside looking in and throwing rocks and like making fun of people. Whereas with Rory, she just kind of is at this point in the show. I don't think she wants to be, but even as the show goes on, she doesn't get like a group of friends. It's pretty much just like her and Lane and then some boyfriends, but... There's always like a separateness that they always experience. I think Lorelai enjoys it more than Rory.
Right.
But I think scenes like that really hit it home because that's when she can have fun and she can be like when she can be razzing all the tight asses at the PTA.
Well, yeah, the contrast is what you really enjoy. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I loved it.
You loved it. I'm so happy that you loved it.
I'm a fan now.
That's so good. So you will come back and do it.
I'm converted. Yeah.
Will you come back and do it? Will you come back and do another show? We gotta have you back.
We gotta have you back, man.
I mean, I'm gonna leave it up to the fans. So I'm gonna let if people want me to come back, comment below.
Oh no. Comment below.
Well,
right below.
I don't think
the screen.
We have comment sections.
Definitely no.
No, I mean, we could do it on Tumblr. No, you can't comment on Tumblr.
Tweet to us.
Yeah, tweet at Gilmore Guys Show. This is true because we do have like 20 followers so far on at Gilmore Guys Show. It's not at Gilmore Guys Show. It's just at Gilmore Guys Show.
Yeah.
If you want to write in, we're GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. So if you have any questions, comments, if
concerns, corrections.
Oh, we didn't do corrections, omissions, and whoopsie.
That's because the last episodes were perfect,
flawless.
Until this one.
Yeah, until this one.
We're gonna that Mark Hamill one really threw you guys for a spin.
The Mark Hamill detour was...
I don't know details about anything outside of Gilmore Girls, and especially not Star Wars.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I haven't seen it since 5 or 6.
It's a no-bit zone.
No-bit zone.
And it's a no-tangent zone. NTZ.
NTZ.
So let's go around and give our ratings.
Our ratings.
Demi?
4 Broken Globes out of 5.
All right.
Yeah.
Anthony?
Are we giving Broken Globes? Is that a thing?
Just make up a...
Okay.
We make up a new rating system.
Yeah, every episode.
Right. So should I go with Broken Globes?
No, you can make up your own.
You can do your own.
The glove thing made sense, though, because Lorelai trips over a glove. Mm-hmm.
And it was a callback.
And we live in a fallen, broken world, guys.
Wow.
Right?
That's like my full family background.
Oh my god.
Bring it back.
Boomeranging back to Anthony's sad family.
Here we go again. I'm gonna give it you said 4 out of how many?
5.
4 out of 5? I'm gonna give it 4 out of 5 as well. 4 out of 5 Broken Globes. Because although it's very, very fun, it also feels like a setup episode. There's gonna be a lot going on with Max Medina. And Lorelai.
Medina.
And now that next episode.
Max Medina.
Max Medina. Hey,
you're watching Gilmore, guys. Yeah, Max Medina.
Yeah, coming to Spike TV after the Man Show.
Yeah, Gilmore Guys on Spike TV. Oh my gosh.
We gotta get Adam Carolla on here.
Adam, we love you. Yeah. Come on the show. Adam, we're ambivalent about you.
Adam, if you want to come on the show,
we can take you or leave you, Adam.
What's wrong with Adam Carolla?
Nothing. What's right with him?
Okay.
Oh.
No, that was a deep diss at someone I have no beef with. Not a big fan of a lot of his overtly manly sort of man show, Adam Carolla show.
Yeah, but very much about like swinging his dick around.
Yeah, but I mean, I have no beef with him. I think that's his thing, and he does
it. Well, you do now. I think you just started a war.
I did. Oh, God. Are we going
to
get...
I like to think Adam Carolla is going to be on, you know, he does. He calls into a lot of these radio stations and talks to them, like Kevin and Bean in L.A. Mm-hmm. If you're in L.A., if you know Kevin and Bean. And he's going to be calling in and be like, I got this guy on Gilmore Guys, a podcast, saying how much he hates me. Guys, I'm gonna murder this mother effer. Like he's gonna say that.
Yeah.
Flawless impression.
I'm gonna.
Was that okay?
Yeah. I closed my eyes and I thought he was here.
All right.
Kind of like when Melissa McCarthy shows up out of nowhere. What if she goes? Sorry. Melissa McCarthy just sits outside every time we do a podcast, and she won't be a guest on the show, but she's here.
That is insane.
Ugh.
I gotta go.
Hey, guys. Why do you always? You guys mind if my friend Mark drops by?
Yeah, Mark who?
Mark. Hey guys, hey. What's going on? It's Mark Wahlberg.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Hey guys, I heard you were doing a Gilmore Guys podcast.
Yeah,
wanted to stop by.
It's not called Gilmore Guys, Mark.
Look, when Mark Wahlberg calls it Gilmore Guys, it's Gilmore Guys.
Okay, hey guys, I got a lot of thoughts. If you want to have me on an episode, I can come through sometime. We can talk Gilmore Guys.
Do you want to be on the next episode with Alexis Bledel?
Oh, yeah, because she's going to do the next
episode. She's going to do the next episode.
I would absolutely love that, guys. I'm about to do Transformers 17.
So am I.
You guys are skipping 13 of them.
Yeah, no. Shia came back for those ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got like no money.
So you're like filming them concurrently?
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
You know it.
All right. Peace, bitch.
All right, Melissa, you can't just keep popping. All right, bye, Mark.
Bye, man.
Are you leaving, Melissa, anytime soon? Melissa, I love you so much.
Oh, I love you.
We'll talk about it soon, Melissa.
It's so weird. I never met Melissa McCarthy. I'm kind of starstruck.
Haven't either. She just pops in.
That was weird. I wanted to say hi, but she was like, was in and out so quick.
Also, Mark kind of stole your microphone. It's not.
Yeah, that was weird. He follows me like everywhere, dude.
He's a bit of a diva.
I don't understand how he has the time. Isn't
that entourage he's got to take care of? You know?
That's true.
You know how that's based on his life?
I can believe that.
Yeah. Right?
Wait, really?
Isn't that crazy? It's based on his life.
I've heard some
crazy stories about Mark Wahlberg, which I won't get into on the podcast.
Because
we love you, Mark.
After Hours.
We love Mark.
That's Gilmore Guys After Dark.
I'm going to give this episode 3.5.
Oh, yeah. The ratings.
We 3.5 stars? Are you serious?
Mark, you're back.
Yeah, because you can't say something that makes me so sick to my stomach like that. 3.5 globes?
Mark, are you getting progressively more Jewish as the show goes on?
Wow, dude, you really offended Mark on that one. He just bounced.
Wow, oh Mark, I didn't. Oh,
wow.
Well. See you for Transformers 17, Mark. 3.5 out of 5.
Why the
limping deers? Because no Richard and Emily in it.
That's true.
And while I like the episode checks out, it's good, but it wasn't. Especially watching it back to back with 103, I didn't think it was as interesting as 103. Because literally, I mean, Edward Herrmann, who always just makes a special appearance, by the way. He's never a cast member. It's like a contractual thing. And Kelly Bishop are the best actors on this show.
Yeah.
By a long margin.
I don't know if Edward Herrmann is the best actor by a long
shot. Well, he might be. You know, nah. He's one of the funnest to watch. Yeah, he's one of the most experienced. But, I mean, Kelly Bishop is by far.
Easily.
Heads and tails.
Heads and shoulders.
Heads and shoulders.
This is Mama of Lorelai.
Yeah.
Grandmother of
Emily.
Lorelai.
Yeah, Mom and Edward Herrmann.
She's a lot of fun. I do
Emily.
Like her.
She is.
I just want to say the name one more time.
That Nazi joke from previous episode? Oh, that might be in the next
episode. No. It's in the Schindler's List one?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe not. I
think it's the next one.
I was like, I don't know what Nazi
episode.
That's
how much I loved it.
You skipped ahead, bro.
What? I didn't skip anything.
Well,
I watched
true.
It.
That's true.
I guess you regressed. I know.
Guys, because I'm getting ready for the next one.
All right. Know? So overall, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
All right. I think that's it. There's only one thing left to do now.
What is that thing?
Well, I can't believe I don't. You know, life is crazy. There's just like a lot of.
And we're ready.
The whole. Okay.
Anthony. Wait, going back to life is crazy. Can I talk more about my family?
Please. Oh,
no, we have to wrap this up. We have to wrap
please
it. I'm sorry.
Don't.
We're on
oh
time
goodness.
Schedule. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we are an hour 17
Pete Holmes
minutes.
Pete Holmes goes for like 3 hours, guys.
Yeah, well, we're not making it crispy.
Yeah. It's keeping it crispy. Chelsea!
Let's make it crispy.
Honestly, Pete Holmes, I love you so much.
Yeah,
please.
I love you too.
I worked on his show. I was not an
That's
intern.
True.
Actually worked on a show.
Can I tell you for real? I went to his show 11 times.
Wow.
That's true. I saw you at his show twice.
I went to 11 tapings
of the
show. I
was always hanging in the
show.
Wings.
That's
oh,
crazy.
Oh, yeah. I was right next to you.
That,
oh, no
guys,
way.
We've probably been at the same Pete Holmes show taping.
I've been to like we've taped like 90 episodes
right.
within between like 3 months. So.
Yeah. RIP. Pete, come on the show. We're having a reunion of Pete Holmes show people without
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So come join us.
You should tag him and be like, dude. Your researcher.
Are you friends with him?
Pete?
Yeah.
No, we've been at like multiple parties together because he's friends of many friends. And like, we didn't talk that much.
Oh, he's a diva.
No. He's a diva.
You hear, this is a Gilmore Guys exclusive.
No.
Holmes is a diva.
Well,
Stone cold.
Look. He spat in my face one time, but he told me he wanted his McDouble with no cheese. So
you got it with cheese.
Yeah, I got it with cheese. I was in the wrong, and then he hit me. Like my parents and my family.
Okay.
Please,
right.
Please play the song. Please play the song.
Charlie,
real quick.
Would you please sing with us?
I would love to.
Sing with us.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train where you leave. I will follow anywhere that you tell me to if you need. You need me to be with you, I will follow, oh, where you lead, I will follow, anywhere that you tell me to,
if you need me,
I will follow, where you lead.
Wow.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Not gonna lie, really quick. I watched that like 4 times on YouTube because I had a feeling we were going to sing it.
Yeah!
Good man. Thank you, Anthony Trolley.
Thank you for having me, guys.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.